is. If you take your Bibles now and turn with me to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. I've entitled this message, Nine Provisions of the Good Shepherd. Nine Provisions of the Good Shepherd. David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." And then in verses 2 through verse 6, he gives us these provisions. The provisions in which he will never lack. Because the Lord is David's shepherd, I will never want for these things. And he lists these provisions. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now this psalm, no doubt, is one of the most familiar passages of Scripture to everyone, and I'm sure in this country. It's written on greeting cards. It's written on sympathy cards. People in churches recite this psalm as though it is a prayer. Let us pray together. And they begin to recite, "The Lord is my shepherd." Yet few people understand and even fewer people understand or know this, that this psalm is not written or intended for everyone. It's not intended for everyone. This psalm was written by David when he was king of Israel. Yet before he became king, this man, David, was a shepherd. He was a shepherd of his father's sheep. And to be a shepherd, not an easy trade. It was one that required constant, continual care for the sheep. See, he was not a shepherd of every animal, was he? He was a shepherd of sheep. And this psalm is written by a sheep giving thanks to his shepherd. Now, a cattleman, he may have to tend and feed his cattle, but surely he doesn't have to tend to them all the time. Pig farmers, they feed them and pretty much leave them to themselves. They don't need constant care, constant attention. But sheep are not so. They are by nature stupid, ignorant animals. Now listen, I've seen some animals do amazing things. I've seen a chicken, you know, he'll ring a bell for some food. He'll peck at a bell if you give him some food. He's smart enough to understand. Hit the bell, get food. I've seen animals jump through hoops and jump through rings of fire. And I've never seen a sheep do any of that. Have you? They're stupid animals. They're weak and defenseless animals. You know what the defense mechanism is for a sheep? To roll over. When he's attacked, all he'll do is roll over. He's defenseless against predators. They have to be led to different pastures. If they were to remain in the same pasture, they would starve to death. They would not go out and find food for themselves. They must be led. They're fearful creatures. They won't even drink from a running stream. They're so fearful. Therefore, the shepherd must always be there. Rain or shine, he must endure all the elements, constantly watch for predators, and continually lead them and feed them. David understood the importance of a shepherd, the labor of a shepherd, as well as the stupidity of sheep. And so David in this psalm is not intending it to be a prayer, asking God for something. It is not intended, like most people say, as a prayer. He says this, I shall not want. What are you doing when you're praying? You want something. Unintended as a prayer for what you want, but is rather a psalm of thanksgiving of what you already have. Listen, the Lord is my shepherd. He's not asking the Lord to be his shepherd. He's not saying, Lord, will you be my shepherd? No, he is stating a fact. The Lord is my shepherd. And because of this, I shall not want. I will not lack anything because you are my shepherd. David, by his own experience as a shepherd, sees this clearly, but this is a spiritual psalm. This is not physical. He intended it as a spiritual psalm. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, before we begin the benefits of this, the benefits of God's sheep, we must first be established in who the shepherd is and who are the sheep. Who is the shepherd and who are the sheep? I want to say this at the very beginning. Jesus Christ is intended here. He is the good shepherd of his sheep. Now, David didn't come up with this analogy on his own. This was already established many hundreds of years before David came into this world. In Genesis chapter 49, when Jacob was giving the blessings upon his children, he comes to Joseph, and this is what he said. Joseph, Genesis 49, 22, Joseph is a fruitful son. Who's he really talking about? Christ. Jesus Christ is a fruitful son. Even a fruitful bow by a well. The well here is intended of salvation. And he says, whose branches? That word branches means daughters. What do you think he's talking about? So is talking about his church. The branches of Christ are his daughters, his church that run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. Is that not true of Christ? The evil men hated him without a cause. But his bow abode in strength. His arms, the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. This is speaking of his resurrection. Though they wounded him, though they crucified him, yet by the mighty hand of God, his bow is strong. He is raised from the dead, even the mighty God of Jacob. Listen, from thence is the shepherd. He's prophesying that from Jacob shall come this mighty arm. From Jacob shall come this fruitful bow. From Jacob shall come, listen, the shepherd. See, this was prophesied that Christ should be termed as a shepherd. As a shepherd. So David knew what he was writing about. He was writing about the Lord Jesus Christ, who was to come. You go to Isaiah chapter 40. Go to Isaiah chapter 40. In this passage, Isaiah describes the Lord Jehovah as one who sits upon the circle of the earth. He sits. And he measures the waters with the palms of his hands. How great is our God. He says in verse 10, behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand. And his arm shall rule for him. Who is that? Who is his arm? Christ. Christ is the arm of God. Christ is the salvation of God. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. What was his work? His work was salvation. The work of Christ was salvation. What was his reward? His reward was his people. His exaltation, all power being given to him. And listen, when this happens, he shall feed his flock like a what? Shepherd. You see, this is one of those pictures of Christ when he was to come into the world. He was to be the shepherd. He was to be the shepherd. And he is the shepherd. He's going to feed his flock, and he will gather his lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. This speaks of Christ coming and accomplishing his salvation. And when he did that, he said this, Father, I finished the work you've given me to do. Give me the glory that I had with you. And all power should be given unto me in heaven and earth for this reason, that I should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. So as the shepherd, he comes and he feeds his flock. You who have been gathered, is that not your testimony that he has fed you? Is it not your testimony that your shepherd has kept you? And not only will he keep and comfort those that he's already gathered, he says this, I will gather them. There's others yet to be gathered. I will gather them and I will carry them. Isn't this an amazing picture? Carrying us. You know, when I make it to heaven, that little silly poem about two footprints, there's only be one said. He is. I made it because he carried me. The difference between a false God and a true God is a false God needs to be carried. The true God carries me. My shepherd carries me in his bosom, and he leads us all the way to glory. And this is exactly what Jesus said of himself. Now go to John chapter 10. Again, the important point is this, that the picture of the shepherd was a testimony of Christ in the Old Testament. When he spoke of the shepherd. Now Jesus Christ, he comes now. The shepherd has come and he is declaring himself. When he says this, listen, he says, I am the good shepherd. He is saying this, I am the Christ. That's exactly what he was saying. I am the Christ. I am the good shepherd. And what is the character and work of the shepherd? I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That is the characteristic of a good shepherd. You just pay a man to watch your sheep, and when the wolf comes, he'll run. That's what he says. In those next few verses, he said, the hireling fleeth because he's an hireling, and not the shepherd. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known of mine. Behold then the goodness of Christ as the shepherd, that he giveth his life for the sheep. Now, why must the good shepherd give his life for the sheep? Simply because his sheep have gone astray. Isaiah says this, that we have turned everyone to his own way. I suppose you've passed many church signs on the way here. Why are there many churches? Because people believe there are many different ways. They believe there are many different paths to God. And so what do? We turn to our own way. Well, I like this way. Well, no, I like this way. What does this prove? It proves this. We have all sinned. We have all turned from God to our own way. We have sinned. We were born incorruptible in nature. We were born in rebellion. We were born by nature. We would not and could not restore ourselves to God. So far had our sins driven us from God. Our sins had removed us from any hope. That no amount of religious exercise or no amount of religious experience could ever bring us to God. I'll tell you this, I bear them record. Religion has a zeal, don't they? They're zealous people, man. They give tons of money. They give tons of their time and energy to performing rituals and ceremonies and buildings that are just enormous and beautiful. I bear them record, they have a zeal. I can't remember what it was. When they do communion in the Catholic Church, when they come up and take the sacraments, do you realize how many rituals they have to go through? Hundreds. And they've got them listed step by step. That they have to follow, that they have to kneel, and they have to make the sign of the cross, and they have to say this prayer, and they have to do this. And I think there's over 20 times or so that they have to make the sign of the cross before they can say that that's the body of Christ. A whole bunch of things they have to do. They have a zeal, friends, and I wouldn't even dare. I'd get bored after about the first 10 seconds of it. They have a zeal, but not according to knowledge. Why? They go about to establish their own righteousness. Why do men do that? Because they're dead. They have no understanding. They go about to serve God in their own way. Therefore, Paul says this, even by the deeds of the law. Is there anything holier or better than the law? There's nothing better than the law. The law is good. The law is right. But yet, we are so full of sin that by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in the sight of God. That's how far we have gone astray. Therefore, God sending His Son in the flesh, in the very nature of man, and yet this shepherd came into the world without sin. How did he miss it? We all were born sons of Adam, weren't we? This transgression of Adam passed in the blood. We are the seed of Adam. Therefore, we are sinners by nature. But Christ came into the world, not the seed of Adam, but the seed of the woman. Therefore, he had no sin. And Jesus, knowing the ruined condition of his sheep, what did he have to do? He had to offer himself a sacrifice for their sins. He offered a sacrifice. He entered into the holy place once. I like that in Hebrews. I think it's 9. He entered in the holy place once. Not with the blood of others, but with his own blood. Having obtained eternal redemption. He got it. He, by his one offering, he sacrificed for sins. The great shepherd of the sheep laid down his life for the sheep. And the Father loveth him because he laid down his life. You know what that means? I mean, the Father always loved Christ, but what is this special love? In that he was successful. The Father loved him. Consider that he was made sin for us who knew no sin. Yet so successful was his offering that the Father loved it. The Father accepted it. And to testify of that success, what's the testimony of his success? God raised him from the dead. And like a good shepherd, he swears this in verse 15. Look at verse 15 of chapter 10 of John. He says, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold. See, that Jewish fold, there was a fold of the Jews, and most of the people before Christ, listen, that were saved, most of them were Jews of that fold, that old dispensation fold. He said, other sheep I have which are not of this fold. I like to understand this, that he was thinking about me when he said that. Think about you who are his sheep. Other sheep I have of this fold. Them I also must bring. Now when God says he must do something, he's obligated himself to it. I must bring them, and they shall hear my voice. You got that? That sound finicky? Well, they might hear my voice. I'm doing this just as a chance. I'm throwing it up in the air and hoping that it comes down right. You know, I know you've been, God's blessed you to not hear some of the garbage that's out there, maybe. One prominent preacher in Houston said this, there were two games being played at the cross. The Roman soldiers were gambling for the garments, and Christ was gambling for the souls of his people. There was no chance he would lose. He said, they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold. And, listen, one shepherd. Seeing that the shepherd has accomplished salvation of his sheep, he says, I must bring them in the fold. They shall hear my voice. And understand, all his sheep by nature then are spiritually dead. They cannot come to him. They will not come because they have no life. They will not come because they will not come to him because they are a servant of sin. But in the day his sheep hear his voice, something happens. This is why he's the good shepherd. Because he actually accomplishes what he says he's going to do. None of us can do that. You can't do that in anything you want to do. We determine to do things, and sometimes it works out, right? Most of the time, it don't. But this man, the good shepherd, does what he says he'll do. In that day, he calls them, his sheep will hear his voice. He told that woman as well. He said, verily I say, and verily, verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. You got that? He already had it. He that hears my word and believes on him that sent me, guess what? He already has everlasting life. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from what? Death to life. The only difference between you who are believers, you who are living, and those who are dead is the voice of the Son of God. Truly, truly, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Have you heard the voice of the Son of God? That's the only thing that makes any difference. I don't care what you've done religiously. I don't care who your parents are or your family is. Have you heard his voice? Whosoever hears his voice, no matter how vile they are. You got that? You know some vile people? You're looking at one. No matter how vile they are, they hear his voice, they'll live. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how much you've blasphemed. You hear his voice, and you'll live. No matter how steeped in false religion you've been, when he speaks to a man's heart, that man lives. And listen, when that man lives, he will forsake everything he thought he knew and follow Christ. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they what? They follow me. They follow me. They believe on him. The Son of God, the Shepherd, shall call His sheep. He calls them by name. They will live. They will forsake their sins, their religion, and believe on Him. These are the sheep of God, of Christ. Those who hear His voice and those who follow Him. Continue in John chapter 10 and look at verse 24. Now, there's a lot of... When Jesus said, I'm the Shepherd, they didn't understand. They didn't know what He meant. And so they come to him, they sit around about him, they said, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. What did he say? I told you. When I said I am the good shepherd, what are you saying? I am the Christ. I am the Christ. I told you plainly. And you believe not. Not only did I tell you, but the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. He raised the dead. He healed the blind. He healed the lame. He healed the sick. He changed the water into wine. Is there any more proof that you need? But you believe not. How many people say that, looking for a sign? I was looking for a sign. Well, if you know what, if you just heal me, then I'd believe. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. Remember that rich man in hell? He lifted up his eyes and said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus back so my brothers may believe. You know what he said? He said they have Moses and the prophets. They have the Word of God. They will not believe even though one be raised from the dead. They would not believe. He said, you believe not. Now, why did they not believe? Plenty works. Christ testified plainly who He is. Every week I testify to you that Jesus is the Christ. Every week I tell of His success, of His victory, of His salvation, of His blood, of His righteousness. I tell you of your sin, of your need of Him. I tell you, come to Him and He'll give you life. And yet many do not believe. Why do they not believe? Because. Look at verse 26. Because. You are not of my sheep. He didn't say, you're not my sheep because you don't believe. That's religion. Today's religion is that. Well, if you want to be a sheep, all you got to do is believe. No, you believe not because you're not of my sheep. All those who continue in unbelief, who never hear the voice of Christ, they believe not because they are not of the sheep of Christ. They are not His sheep. They will never become His sheep. I spoke with a pastor, a friend of mine, and he was conveying this when the Lord revealed this to him. He was in a group of pastors. He was actually preaching at the time. And one of the pastors asked him a question. He says, can a goat become a sheep? Can a goat become a sheep? Have you ever seen that in nature at all? No. Goat's a goat. He's always going to be a goat. He's never going to change. So it is with these that are not the sheep of Christ. They will never change. They're going to always be their nature. Listen, you were a sheep because you were chosen. You that are a sheep, you were a sheep from eternity. You were His sheep. He was always your shepherd. Yes, you were lost. But the good shepherd always intended to find you. that he found you. And when you heard his voice, you did what any sheep would. You followed him. You followed him. Now listen, anybody that does not believe on Christ and dies in their sins, I want you to understand this. It's your fault. It is the responsibility of every man to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It is our responsibility. Yet lack of ability does not negate the responsibility. Man has no ability to come. But that does not negate his responsibility. You're still responsible. But all who do come, we recognize this, that we were chosen of the Father and given to Christ. He is my shepherd. And he swears, as a good shepherd, to gather all his sheep by his sovereign effectual power and call. And listen, they will hear him. You know, I want all men to hear him, but it's not my ability. I have no ability to make you hear his voice. But I'm comforted in this, that his sheep cannot hide from him. There is no place that they can go he won't find them. You always get that silly, well, what about those people in way out that never heard the gospel? Listen, if God got a sheep out there, they'll hear it. I have no qualms about that. Remember that Ethiopian eunuch? Where'd Philip find him? He just came from Jerusalem. He just offered those sacrifices, and yet he went away empty. And God sent Philip to meet him in the middle of the desert. Wherever God's people are, he'll meet them, he'll find them. And if they're not God's people, listen, they believe not because they're not of his sheep. I know this, wherever they are, he'll find them. He'll preach the gospel to them. And they'll believe on him. Is the Lord your shepherd? Is the Lord your shepherd? David said, the Lord is my shepherd. He was confident of that. Are you? Well, you are if you heard his voice. You are if you follow him. What is it to follow him? Now, there's a lot of people say, well, you know, following him, you got to do this and stop doing this and start doing this. What is it to follow him? It is simply this. It is to believe on him. It is to love him. And as you believe on him and you love him, you love his people. You love his word. You love his message. You follow him. Follow him. I like this song. We sing this often. But I think this is a good testimony of one sheep. He said, I was a wandering sheep. I did not love the fold. I did not love my shepherd's voice. I would not be controlled. I was a wayward child. I did not love my home. I did not love my father's voice. I loved afar to roam. Oh, the shepherd sought his sheep. The father sought his child. They followed me o'er vale, o'er hill, o'er desert, waste, and wild. They found me nigh to death, famished and faint and alone. They bound me with the bands of love. They saved the wandering one. Jesus, my shepherd, is. 'Twas he that loved my soul. 'Twas he that washed me in his blood. 'Twas he that made me whole. 'Twas he that sought the lost, that found the wandering sheep. 'Twas he that brought me to the fold. 'Tis he that's still the key. Is the Lord your shepherd? Is the Lord your shepherd? If he is your shepherd, listen. He was always your shepherd. He was always your shepherd. Jesus said in John 10, look at this and go back to John 10. You believe not because you're not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Listen, I give unto them eternal life. Now who gets eternal life? Them. How do they get it? I give it to them. Freely. No merit in the dumb animal. No merit in the dumb sheep. Give it to them. And as a result of my gift, they shall never perish. When will the sheep of God perish? Never. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. And as they exist in this world, listen, neither shall any man pluck them out. Romans chapter 8, beautiful passage of Scripture. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who? Shall tribulation or distress? In tribulation or distress? You felt tribulation and distress? Sheep often do. Shall tribulation or distress? What about persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep as for the slaughter. Isn't that how men see you? Dummy. Why would you endure it? Leave that place. Why have you not left Christ concerning all the persecution you faced? No, Paul said. In all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd. He gives unto us eternal life, and no man is able to pluck us out of his hand. My Father which gave them me. There it is again. Why are you his sheep? You were given to Christ. Is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. I and my Father are one. One in will, one in power, one in deity. No man is able to pluck them out of my hand. And what then is the result of this? If Jesus Christ is your shepherd, what did David say? The Lord is my shepherd. Because of this, what? I shall not want. What are you missing? The old man of sin in us is still covetous, isn't it? Still want things. Kids, Christmas coming, right? You want anything? Yeah, I got a lot of wants. I got a lot of wants. What's going to happen after you get it? Where's it going to go? What about last Christmas? Where's all this stuff? Where'd it go? Flesh always wants something. They're not any different than us. Flesh always wants something. But because Jesus is my shepherd, you listen to this, I will never lack anything that is good for me. Never. Because Christ is my shepherd doesn't mean that I escape tribulation. Doesn't mean I escape persecution. Doesn't mean I escape sickness. Doesn't mean I escape death. But even in these things, even in these troubles, listen, I shall lack nothing to make me acceptable before God. Nothing. What does God want from you? What does God demand from you? Righteousness. Guess what? I am never going to lack righteousness. Jesus is my righteousness. God demands a sacrifice for your sins. Jesus Christ is my sacrifice for sins, and God has already accepted him. What does he demand from me? What offering do I need to bring to him? Nothing but thanksgiving and praise. Most people take this psalm, they try to pray it, and they're praying because they want something. Isn't that right? They want something. They miss the whole point of the psalm. The psalm is, because the Lord's my shepherd, I will not lack anything. I won't lack anything that God requires of me. I won't lack leadership. I won't lack protection. I won't lack spiritual food. There's so many things. I know I didn't get to them, but there's provisions, and I think I'll just go over them next week with you. But this is the important thing, because these provisions are only for the sheep. These things, these promises, are only for the sheep. So if you're not his sheep, these are not your promises. You're always going to be missing these things. But we who are his sheep, the Lord is my shepherd, I will not lack anything God requires. What about faith? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Isn't that right? How often do you fear you lack faith? But have you stopped believing yet? It may be like Elijah with the widow woman in the cover. Maybe it's just enough for the day. I don't ever seem like I have an overabundance of faith, do you? I'll tell you this, I will not lack faith, because he gives it to me daily. I will not lack guidance or care or his presence. He's always with me. I will not lack courage, because he is my strength. In my life, I pray God will help you with this. I pray God will reveal himself as he is, the good shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep, that he's the one that gives us eternal life, and we shall never perish, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not